Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
You're now listening to Gamertag Radio's E3 2015 coverage. This is Gamertag Radio, a Gamertag Radio exclusive. Let's get this started.
All right, so we're live here, E3 2015, and we just finished watching the Microsoft press conference. This is the second press conference of the week, and Paris is looking at me laughing and cracking up. He's always doing that. But yeah, this is Godfrey. We have Paulson J, yeah, Paris, Pete, and also we have Q in the corner there.
Q!
Mandy, she went somewhere, handled some business there. So let's start off with Paulson. Paulson, your thoughts about Microsoft press conferences?
Two words, pleasantly surprised. I knew the majority of things they would show, Tomb Raider, Halo, Fable, things like that.
Yeah.
What they showed, though, impressed me in terms of the good balance between solid gameplay, like showing the four-player cooperative campaign of Halo 5, which to me is its strongest feature so far that I've seen, because it looks different, it looks distinctive, it looks like Halo fun with new abilities. Talking about the Warzone from Halo 5, bumping the player count up to 24 players, having the larger vehicles, having the addition of, you know, two enemy AIs in the Covenant and the Forerunner AI systems. That's going to be neat. It really looks like they're trying to expand the classic Halo sandbox into something new and unique, and 343 is trying to put their stamp to say, look, we made mistakes with Halo 4, we're moving forward, we're taking your feedback, and we're trying to make a bigger, better, more badass Halo game. Mm-hmm. And it looks like that's the direction they're going, so I was pretty impressed by the direction. I like the way the story goes. Mm-hmm. I guess moving on to Tomb Raider, that looks like a must-buy for me. I'm a huge fan of the last game.
I have to say something about that, though. The game is coming out the same day as Fallout 4.
Yes. But don't you think they're different enough to go succeed? Yeah.
Well, here are two things I would like to say about that. Like, there's a crowd for that type of game, and there's a crowd that is going to buy Fallout 4.
I think the Fallout 4 crowd is going to buy Fallout 4 no matter what day it comes out. Mm-hmm. That's just a given set aside, a must-own game.
And there's a crowd that they're just excited for both games, that they will buy both games just because it's, you know.
Yeah, and speaking of Fallout 4, their big announcement that they made is that they're going to have the ability to stream mods from the PC to the Xbox One.
I think it's huge.
Free of charge. That's a game changer, because obviously I think the PlayStation 4 is not going to have that. So that is their one up on console exclusivity, saying, look, you have your base game, which is great, but look, you can expand it, you can upgrade it, and hopefully the content isn't too censored or certified. Hopefully it's a pretty simple process to get new content out there, because really will expand the game.
Actually, I think I'm going to disagree with you, Patrick, because I don't think that's going to be just a Microsoft thing. I think that's going to be something that gets done on both sides. Sony's going to do their streamable mods from the PC, as does Microsoft.
I think they made that deal with Microsoft, not with Sony. But
like,
good luck with that. But Paris,
I was very impressed by the press conference. I really was. I thought Xbox hit on all the points that they needed to. The things that we knew were coming delivered for the most part. I have one exception that I'll bring up in a second.
Okay.
Of the new games that we didn't know about, ReCore seems very interesting.
Very interesting, yeah.
Really looking to see what that gameplay mechanic is going to be about. So hopefully we'll find out more about that during the week. I think the mic dropper obviously was HoloLens.
Yep.
You know, and just side note on that, the fact that Microsoft is also partnering with Valve for
and
their
Oculus
VR solution is pretty big.
Yeah.
But what they showed on stage with Minecraft and HoloLens, that is game-changing. If they can actually deliver that as a consumer product for people, my kids will probably get straight F's in school for the rest of their lives, drop
because
out
of that,
because they'll just play that all the time. That's how fantastic that really looks. So, go ahead, Pete.
The one thing that they didn't mention, which I was kind of surprised, was a price. for HoloLens. Mm,
but you got to think it's probably not going to come out. Earliest would be holiday of next year. So why price it now? I mean, it's kind of like Project Morpheus. I mean, Sony had, we've known about it for a couple of years, but they've never given it a price.
Right. And you know, they said that, you know, base range of numbers, you're going to need about $1,500 between the PC and this.
Yeah.
But I do like what they said, that, you know, you get the Xbox One controller that's fully playable with Oculus, and you can stream the games via Rift using the entire package. I think that's going to be crazy.
Yeah. And just to go on that point still, is just further integration of Xbox One along with Windows 10, just trying to basically combine, you know, those two platforms into being one universal unit, I think is great. Obviously, we saw Gigantic. They're doing their the Xbox early preview stuff now for the indie games. I think that looks great. Mm-hmm. And then just to move it on to Gears, I mean, worst kept secret was the Gears remaster was coming. We knew that. Everything we pretty much expected from that. Mm-hmm. And what they showed of Gears 4 looked impressive.
Very impressive.
And it definitely looks like they're taking it in a different direction, because they're not just going, all right, well, it's Gears 4 and they're fighting the Locust again. It looks like it's a whole new enemy this time. We don't know if it's a prequel, sequel, or what it's going to be. So looking forward to that. Now, before you go, because I know this is going to be controversial, if I have a nitpick about this whole thing, Halo 5, Warzone, I'm very interested in, because like they said, they're giving the entire sandbox to the players. We know Forge is going to be involved in this. There's probably going to be some crazy things coming out of that. I don't know about the campaign. I wasn't that excited about it.
What? Really? Okay.
Something about the way they were doing the co-op and you're handing out the missions. I understand it's a very Republic Commando kind of thing. Hell, they even got one of the lead developers.
Design director,
to do it. But it didn't give me that sense of excitement. And you know what it is, I think? It's because it wasn't Master Chief. I think if it was Master Chief and Blue Team, I'd be a little more excited about it. But Locke's team, even though they gave him Buck, that's not Halo to me. And I don't connect with that. So I wasn't jumping up and down out of my seat seeing that gameplay. It felt just like an extension of Halo 4 to me, which I'll let people have their own conclusions about that.
Anything to Halo 4. I agree. I was disappointed that there was no mention of Blue Team, the extra Spartan 2s. I'm going to assume that's a plot-related issue. They don't want to spoil their unveilment, how they work. But I got to say, I really enjoy that aspect of Squad Command, because you know we haven't seen that in games recently. It's kind of fallen out of favor. I enjoy that. And I guess really my only downer, and why I kind of agree with Paris, of like why I wasn't like super hype as I should be, is I just really cannot stand the Forerunner enemies, which are exactly just copy and pasted from 4, which to me, they're not fun to fight. It's monotonous. It's boring. It's jamming time.
All right, so how did you guys feel about the 24-player multiplayer? And did you see a flash on the screen, PvE?
Yeah, the AI on screen, the Covenant and the Forerunner.
Right, so I see that. Obviously, I think that's going to be a take on the Destiny thing. It kind of felt, you know, as if they're trying to grab onto that Destiny feel, with, you know, considering the popularity of Destiny these days and it being literally the baby of.
Real quick on the Warzone thing. Yeah, PvE is going to be a part of it in the sense that they're opening up the entire sandbox. So not only will it be PvP, but you can also include AI enemies inside of a PvP match. That's the thing that they're going for. 24 players, all the vehicles are going to be available. Like they said, the maps are going to be 4 times the size that we've had previously. They're like it said, it's a war zone. They're going, if anything, they're going after the Battlefield crowd. That's what I took from that with this gameplay mode.
Okay. Quick question, you guys. I feel like this was the best Xbox press conference, I think. I've been to almost all of them. And the reason why I would say that, though, Paris, is because I feel that the timing, the way how they announced things in there. I mean, look, there were certain things I didn't really care much, like the EA Access and all that stuff. But I felt like they needed to do that because of the partnership that they have with EA. But one thing, though, that I think was a mic drop, too, was Xbox 360 games now compatible with the Xbox One. And that was a basically shots fired to PlayStation.
Yeah, that's what I got excited about, because I have a stack of Xbox 360 games that I have not finished, that I haven't completed. And that I even have some that are unopened, but it's great that I can not have to worry about switching the back of my, you know, the TV to, from Xbox One to Xbox 360 to play my old games. And this winter, I'll be able to play them on Xbox One.
And I actually feel sorry for a lot of people, parents included, who got rid of all of their 360 games. See, Paris is shaking his finger because he knows, I'll just play them on PC. But you got to rebuy.
But it was definitely a shot at PlayStation and PlayStation Now. And especially the line, like, we don't charge you to play your old games. I was like, ooh,
PlayStation burn. Now is dead. In its current form, it's dead. They're going to have to change that. Because, and we've been saying this even before this announcement. You'd be a damn fool to sit there and pay that money to play those laggy streaming games off of PlayStation Now. But to go back to what Pete just said, no, I'm excited for the backwards compatibility. I can't even talk. I'm excited for being able to get the 360 games. And yes, I've gotten rid of most of my library, but games like Halo Reach, games like Halo 3, games that I truly want to play, I still got them. And Reach, for example, like I have digital. So, boom, it's just going to be available immediately. So those type of things I'm excited for, because to be able to dip back into the 360. Beyond that, I want to move forward. And I have a PC, so why should I care?
Well, Mandy?
I missed the lead up to this.
No, just overall, because I know you were doing, yeah, like over just overall the press conference. You could, I know you've been very critical with Xbox.
Xbox always. No, yeah. They did a really good job. I felt like they covered a lot of bases. There's still a lot of those kind of fuzzy declarations for some of the games that I think all of the developers and all of the platforms are doing about, like, oh, coming first or exclusive for the holiday. But as a whole, they showed a wide variety of games. They did get to surprise us with a couple of things. Unfortunately, a number of them also did get leaked intentionally or unintentionally. For myself, there's only a few games that I was really strictly like, oh my God, I have to have this, and it's an exclusive. A lot of the ones that were really compelling from them were third parties. So
okay. Any thoughts about the HD collection from Rare? I think that was pretty exciting. 30 games. I think that was pretty cool.
And it's a good mix of games. I mean, anybody that buys it, you're gonna find probably at least, you know, 10 to 15 that you're gonna enjoy.
Yeah, just Viva Pinata alone.
Viva Pinata.
That will take hours and hours, but their new game, it got my attention. I just need to know more about, like, and, okay, like, here's the thing. Press conferences is more like, hey, look, this is the stuff that we have planned, you know, but once you get to see the content behind closed doors, you'll find out more information about the game. Like, it happened to me a couple years ago with Alan Wake. I didn't like the presentation that they had at a press conference, but when I got to see it during, like, behind closed doors, it got me even more excited about the game, you know? So,
well, and here's the thing is, looking at it was like, this seems so brilliant. You know, at first glance, the art style, the everything about it was just kind of like, it felt like Rare wanted to do something new, and it looked cool. The only real reservation I have right now from that initial look, you know, without knowing more, is that I've personally been leaning more towards single-player experiences recently, and the way that they showed off that game, you're probably, it's kind of MMO-ish style. Mm-hmm. You're not likely to make it very far without playing with others. And that's just personally for me that I'm like, you know, maybe I'll pick it up. But if that's the focus and I'm not really into playing that right now, okay, you know, it happens. But as a whole, like at the first glance was like, oh, sweet.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the as you said, the art style, the fact that it's pirate-based and we haven't had a good pirate game since the last Assassin's Creed 4.
I looked at it. And the first thing that came to my mind was, it looks like a better pirate experience than AC Black Flag.
Yeah, right. It does look a great pirate experience. And to Manny's point,
it still looked like a better experience, though, because you saw the ships moving up and down with the waves. Yeah. The water effect
fantastic.
Looks
that
phenomenal.
Art
looked like you're actually in the water.
Yeah.
So I don't see...
Ship combat felt like ship combat. And just to Manny's point real fast about the single-player games, I almost have in mind that it might be like a journey-like state of game where everyone is working together to a common goal. So even if it's random people you're playing with, 90% of the time they're going to be helpful and not trolls, and you're going to have a good, like, really memorable adventure. You'll tell your friends, oh, we did all this cool pirate stuff. I made great friends on Xbox Live, like the old days when you used to actually meet random people and start friendships. That looks like that could be that kind of game, because it's all based around the cooperative asset. I love the concept of, you know, a giant ship requires a lot of people to operate it, which is something no game has ever really tried to do before.
So since we're gonna have time tomorrow morning before we have to go to E3 and everything, I think we'll drive to the Grove. We'll go to Lids, pick you up a nice Florida State hat, maybe a visor, something like that. Keep your head cool, you know, because there was no new Battletoads game there. What happened? And talk about what they did show.
No, I didn't mention that.
Excuse me. Talk about what ain't no Battletoads game.
Here's the thing. I still think they're working on a new Battletoads game. I still think so. I mean, they're not going to announce it. You're right. There was not new. Because the bet was at the press conference, which you're right.
Correct.
I lost. But I did mention, too, that... No, I did mention too that they were working maybe on the collection because today, like, this is their 30th anniversary. You know, I've been mentioning that for months, so I wasn't sure, but I still feel that they are working on a new Battletoads game. So, but don't worry. I'm a man of my word. I'll buy the shirt. That's it.
Full disclosure. Yeah. I will fully admit, before the press conference, I had completely tapped out and just submitted myself to wearing some Canes gear.
Because
I thought they were going to have a Battletoads game.
Good.
I really did. But then it was funny, you know, as we're going through and they showed the Rare thing, I go, they ain't going to show no Battletoads.
Yeah. But I don't know, man. I think this was a home run. Great job from Microsoft. I think this was even better than last year's press conference. I'm just worried with Sony. Like, what are they going to show? What are they going to do? Because, man, dude, there was a couple things that they announced that, like, look.
One of
the VR stuff. Morpheus, it looks cool. No, but I'm just saying, it's a lot of things that they mentioned that I just don't know.
I'm surprised you've actually glossed over the fact that Microsoft nailed a Keiji Inafune game with Recore.
Yeah.
You're
we did mention
okay.
that. Yeah.
That's what I should have asked him.
Of course.
It's okay.
All right, well then, we haven't brought up the big, you know, the big elephant in the room, Ubisoft. We've got The Division. Available.
Division.
Playable demo.
But to be fair to Ubisoft, they're going to have their own press conference here in a couple hours, so they're going to elaborate on a lot of this stuff. Now, I will say this, and this might be blasphemy in itself. I got worried about Rainbow Six as I was watching it. I did. Why?
Why?
Because you know what struck me? It's not going to have any kind of single-player component. It's going to be multiplayer only. I understand that. But it dawned on me as I'm watching it, the fact that it doesn't.
But you knew this. You knew it was going to be a multiplayer only
experience. Am I speaking
English?
I just said I knew it. But I said as I'm watching it play out, it concerned me for the overall health of the game, that it doesn't have some type of single-player component or some type of story component. And you know what did it? Is when they said Vegas and Vegas 2 was going to be available.
Vegas and Vegas 1.5?
Yeah, basically.
There's your story right there. Vegas and Vegas 2 were like the first games that were like, all right, let's try to put a real plot into here. It worked okay. I think at this point, it's kind of like... Just like Ghost Recon, they're predominantly multiplayer games. They've had some good single players in the past. But I think moving forward to stay competitive, they need to be games that, you know, are fun to stream, fun to play.
Competitive.
It hits all those things. And it looks like Siege really nails that. For me, the thing is, Kicker, I'm worried about Paris, is how many maps. Because those maps are tiny. They're very tiny. They're replayable. But how many? Because that could be bad for them.
Well, and I will say that the one thing I was kind of surprised, with everything that Microsoft was doing and bringing all these people on stage, that when they brought out, you know, Ubisoft to talk about The Division and Siege, I was fully expecting there to be some kind of stunning timed DLC or some kind of exclusive tied to it. And it was like, you guys are getting in a beta. And that's all great. And I'm not bashing the getting the beta. I might even, like, reactivate my Xbox Live to try it. But at the same time, it was, you know, again, there was no defining thing to say, come get it on our platform.
I can't disagree with you on that one. The other title that kind of got me intrigued, we haven't talked about, was Dark Souls 3.
Mm-hmm. But wasn't that was leaked, though. Like, we knew Dark Souls 3.
Yes, but seeing, being leaked that, hey, it's going to be there, and then actually seeing it.
No, was any of that actually gameplay? Because that was all CGI.
No, that was all pre-rendered game footage.
So then the other question is, and I think that when I first asked it, none of us knew for sure, was, is it an Xbox exclusive? Because I didn't see, didn't open it with an Xbox exclusive tag.
Oh, wait. Oh, no. I don't mean the,
Dark Souls 3. They didn't open it. They opened everything up with an Xbox One exclusive.
No, it's not exclusive. It's just world premiere.
Okay, yeah.
They were just first showing it. I mean, a lot of companies do that all the time. Yeah. Like, Sony done it.
Well, and that was
it,
the thing,
you know,
is that the first response was, is this an exclusive? Because we weren't entirely sure.
No, it's not exclusive. But I think we should wrap it up because we have to go now to the EA press conference. It's going to start in a few. But head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Also, play that it. to listen to our coverage of E3 2015. Give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Email us fanmail at gamertagradio.com. Remember, subscribe, share this content with your friends. We want to break records this week. Records. So,
records. And yes. I'll see you all in Gears 1 Online because it's back.
Yeah.
It's going to be brutal and takes no prisoners.
Definitely.
So come hard or go home.
All right. Until next time. GTR. Peace.
Out.